Hello and welcome to another late night edition of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tyler, and I am joined by the man with his finger on the pulse of Dayton basketball, David Jablonski of the Dayton Daily News. Thanks for joining the show again. It's been a long time.
It's been a long day. I've been here since the first game at noon, Davidson-Fordham. It seemed like days ago, and I've watched a little bit of every game, but not a whole lot of the Richmond-VCU game, but glad to be here. I love this place.
Yeah, you were typing away with some of the most impressive speed I have ever seen from anyone on your late game piece.
And yet, I'm still not done. I'm still going to be up late. I got a big De'Ron Holmes story to write. He had such an amazing game today.
Well, then I guess we're going to have to keep this thing quick. And you mentioned De'Ron Holmes. I think we got to start with the biggest story to come out of the win. You tweeted out that both Holmes and Malachi Smith had to get an IV after the game. So do you have any gauge on how they're feeling going into this quick turnaround for tomorrow's semifinal?
I think they'll be fine. Malachi just had cramps, which is better than being injured. Cramps are pretty common. It's a long, brutal game out there today. UMass gave Dayton everything it had, and the Flyers had to fight to the finish. So it was certainly a tough physical game. De'Ron said he just drank some Gatorade wrong or something, and it didn't sit right with him or whatever. He didn't feel good throughout the game. Somebody saw him puking in a trash can during the game. I missed that part. But hard to imagine he was feeling that bad with how well he played.
I can't imagine what he would have done if he felt good today. 28 points. He was just utterly dominant. What did you think of his performance, and what was the vibe around the team?
It was his best performance, and he's had a lot of good ones. His previous season and career high was 21 points, 28 points today. I went back through every Dayton A-10 tournament box score to 2005 when the internet failed me. I couldn't find any more box scores easily from games that far back. But I could not find anybody from Dayton who had scored more points in an A-10 tournament game than De'Ron today.
Yeah, it really didn't matter who they threw at him. Michael Stedman gave him a little bit of trouble in the second half. He's the biggest of UMass's centers, but anytime he got a smaller guy, he was happy to just go right into them and then put that nice little spin move together.
Yeah, 12 of 15, seventh best field goal percentage in an A-10 tournament game. So that's something for the record book. And he probably could have got more touches. There was a 3-minute stretch there at the end where other guys were shooting the ball, and it's like, get the ball to Holmes. I mean, he's been unstoppable. He needs to get it every time. And they finally did get it to him, with less than 90 seconds left, and he had the big go-ahead shot.
Yeah, it really felt like he was kind of carrying them until those final minutes when a few of the perimeter guys really got it going. Malachi Smith made some huge plays. Tamani Kamara finally came alive from his early foul trouble. So who else were you impressed with in today's game? It was kind of a lot of guys who had even performances.
Well, Kobe Brea only had 5 points, which is well below what he's been averaging last six games, which is 14. He's been a huge scorer for them lately. But he did hit two big baskets in the last 8 minutes, both times breaking a tie game with those shots. So that was one player who stood out. You mentioned Kamara. Malachi had a big game offensively and mostly hit the big free throws at the end. Dayton is not a good free throw shooting team, and they weren't a good free throw shooting team today, but they were in the last few minutes.
Yeah, and honestly, just as someone who wants them to win, just gut feeling, I know Malachi Smith is a good free throw shooter, but I have felt like he has had some bad ones late in games. So it was great to see him come through today in what is really the biggest game of his career so far. And same for a lot of these guys.
Right. Every game right now is their biggest game. Bigger stage tomorrow in the semifinals against Richmond. If they can get to Sunday, it'd be one of the biggest Dayton games in years because they haven't been to the A-10 championship game since 2015. Plus the fact that an NCAA bid would be on the line, that would be a huge, huge day for the program if they can get to Sunday.
Yeah, and before we jump ahead to tomorrow's game, the one other guy that deserves mention, UMass's star Noah Fernandes, who really just felt unstoppable. Did you feel like there was anything that Dayton's defense could have done differently to stop him, or was he just in an absolute groove?
Amazingly, and I had totally forgotten about this until after the game, he didn't score against them 16 days ago. 0 for 5 from the field, maybe his only scoreless game of the season. So he had something to prove today, and certainly did, 10 of 20 from the field, almost as many points as Holmes. Kamara was on him for a while. I think they definitely tried some different things, and he just got a lot of tough shots to fall. UMass in general, got a lot of shots to fall inside the three-point line. Both teams, you know, two of the better three-point shooting teams in the country, top 35, both of them. Both of them shot under 30% today, so that was a little weird fact of the game.
Yeah, and especially after watching UMass yesterday just run up and down the floor on GW, it was kind of surprising to see a better offensive team not be able to torch their defense.
Yeah, neither team could get going. See, I'm yawning here. It's getting late. Yeah. You know, I Dayton has struggled to win games when it doesn't shoot better than 30%, or it's almost unbeatable when it shoots better than 40%. It hasn't lost all season. So this is important. They got to win these games when the shots aren't falling. You know, first game at a big arena, that can affect your shooting sometimes. UMass had played the day before, so had some experience in the arena, although it didn't help their three-point shooting today. Maybe Dayton will shoot better tomorrow with a little experience here.
So speaking of tomorrow, if we had done this pod right after the game, I think we would have probably had a little bit of a slant towards what happens in Dayton versus VCU number 3. But that will not be the game. They're going to play the senior-laden Richmond Spiders. And we know Coach Grant will be prepared. He was hanging out at the media table for a good portion of that game, soaking it in from right along courtside. So to you, what do you see as the biggest key for Dayton to play better tomorrow versus today's semi-sluggish performance?
Well, Richmond gave him a very tough game just a couple weeks ago. That was March 1st, so we're talking 10 days ago. The R.J. Blakeney dunk won the game, but that was a close game where neither team had – I don't think either team led by more than 5 points. It was close the whole way. Low-scoring game, 55-53, so probably something similar to that. And it's probably going to come down to the end. Dayton's last four games have all come down to the last minute, and several of them to the last shot. So Dayton's going to expect another hard-fought game, but they've won 9 straight against Richmond. I would assume that's a good thing going into this one. VCU, it's, you know, Dayton beat them by 30 the last time they played them, but VCU in general has owned that series in recent years. So I think if Dayton fans had to choose who they would want to play, it would be Richmond. Doesn't mean they're going to win tomorrow, but they would rather have that matchup, I would think.
Yeah, and when we dive into the game, there's some very interesting things from watching today's games. Of course, as we just talked about, Daron Holmes was incredible for Dayton. Well, Richmond's weakness is their interior defense. On the flip side, Dayton struggled to contain Noah Fernandes. Richmond won because Jacob Gilliard went just absolutely buck wild. So I think we'll hit this from Dayton's point of view. Do you feel like they're going to have the right game plan ready to contain Gilliard, especially now having the film of what Fernandes just did to them?
Well, I guess they get like a 2.5-hour head start. Since they played the earlier game today, I don't know if you're looking for small advantages. I guess that would be one. Game planning is going to be huge in such a short turnaround. But these are teams that are so familiar with each other that, you don't have to watch a ton of film or devise a totally different game plan. These teams just played. So it will be interesting to see what they come up with. But, seems like most of these games are coin flips. Even Dayton-UMass, as we saw, was a coin flip, even though Ken Palmon said Dayton had like an 80-90% chance of winning. I think tomorrow is kind of a coin flip too.
I kind of feel that way now. If you had told me earlier in the week it's Dayton-Richmond, I'd say Dayton should be solidly favored, but Richmond's kind of got the we're not ready for our careers to be done magic from those seniors. And in terms of Dayton's preparation, I want to ask you, as someone who is really closer to the team than anybody in the media, do you think that given the late ending to the Richmond game, are they going to try to dive into that film tonight? Or is that something the coaches are going to pick apart overnight and it's going to be a nice and early start for the players to start going through that game plan?
Yeah, I don't think the players will be watching that stuff tonight. Student managers will be cutting up the film. The grad assistants taking a look at it. The coaches taking a look at it. Coaches were at the game, of course, tonight, scouting in person. So players, I'm sure, will be resting tonight and get a look at it tomorrow.
All right, and last question here about tomorrow's game. So I'll take out the two all-conference players, Daron Holmes and Tamani Kamara, and the point guard, Malachi Smith. Who has to have a good game tomorrow for Dayton to win among the rest of the roster?
Well, they could really use Kobe Elvis to get going. He was a huge scorer midway through the conference season, really developed a consistent scoring threat. Developed into a consistent scoring threat for Dayton, and he's kind of not been scoring as much in recent games, but he's certainly capable. He's a big-time shooter, certainly capable of breaking out again. And Kobe Brea, too. He wasn't a big scorer today, but he was in the previous six games. So both of the Kobes could be big factors for Dayton.
Yeah, I fully believe that for Dayton to win, they're going to need a big scoring performance out of one of those two, something in the 10 to 15 range. But David Jablonski, if anyone is not getting the best Flyers coverage on the web from you right now, where can they find your work?
DaytonDailyNews.com.
There you go. Nice and easy. Thank you for joining us. So to close this out, the semifinals are set. We got Davidson against St. Louis, Dayton against Richmond, the 1, 2, 5, and 6 seeds. And coming into this, Dayton was the favorite, Davidson at number 2. These two were kind of more afterthoughts by basically everyone, and we're certainly included in that. I believe that our exact words were that St. Louis and Richmond should absolutely not be considered in with the favorites, but that there was still a pathway for them to win the title. And the pathway for both is now far more clear than it was. And so my hot take going into Saturday, I think it's time to just throw out all the expectations. All year, this conference has been about 6 teams that were so much better than everybody else. Well, everybody else is now gone. It's down to these 4. And yes, on paper, Dayton is the most talented team. They also played the worst game of the 4 winners today. Yes, on paper, Richmond had the worst season. But those guys are just oozing confidence right now. You could see it on the court. You could hear it in the press conference. They don't believe that there's anyone in this tournament that can stand in their way right now. And they're going to play like it tomorrow. They're going to walk on that court, right or wrong, fully believing that they are the better team than Dayton. And by the way, they're the far more experienced team. 18th oldest team in the country, Dayton the second youngest. In a tournament, in postseason play, that could matter. It's only the second conference tournament game for Daron Holmes and Malachi Smith. It's only the second in front of a real crowd for basically everyone else. So at this point, I don't think it's hard to see any of these 4 winning at all. It's going to be a really, really entertaining Saturday. And I really don't know at this point. It's so hard to make a prediction. I know by betting, Davidson and Dayton will be the favorites, and their body of work over the season has deserved that. But if you're going to go in feeling like it would be stunning to see Richmond or St. Louis come away, then you didn't watch today. Because those two teams played just as well as Dayton and Davidson have at their best this season. So I guess the one takeaway, the favorite right now going into Saturday and Sunday, is fun. These are going to be some really, really fun matchups. And I, for one, am looking forward to them. So thanks again for listening to the 3-Bid League podcast. We will be back sometime on the back end of tomorrow's semifinal games to talk about them, take a look at the final. Thank you all for continuing to listen.